We are going to be in Proverbs 24. So if you wonder where we're at, there are 31 chapters in Proverbs. So 24, so there's about 7 more lessons, and that's going to be just about perfect for getting us right to the end of the school year, right, as we go forward here. So chapter 24, and I'm going to get my phone out because it has some other versions, some other wordings for what we're going to read tonight. All right, so we're going to start out in verse 1, and chapter 24, we've kind of talked about each chapter is a little bit different. Some chapters kind of have one main theme. That was pretty early on in the book of Proverbs. And then as we went on, some of the chapters seem like every verse is kind of its own theme. And they don't really, you can't really say, well, this verse leads to this verse. It's just kind of like these are wise sayings. So those are a little bit trickier to kind of like teach as a lesson. And as we get towards the end here, it kind of starts to come back to more of a themed type of chapter. So that's where we're getting to here in chapter 24. And my Bible has a little headline right before this chapter, and it calls it Precepts and Warnings. That's kind of the headline. And so what we learn from that is that we're going to learn some things that we need to be on the lookout for. And normally when somebody tells you be watching out for something, what does that mean to you? Where are you looking if you're watching out for something? What about you? Okay, you're looking all over, you're right? Somebody says, "Hey, you better watch out for that baseball." Somebody's throwing it back in. You're looking all over, right? Nobody wants to get hit in the head with a baseball that's getting thrown in from the outfield, right? Or if somebody says, okay, somebody's hiding, and they're going to jump out and scare you, better watch out, or they're going to get you, okay? So you're watching everywhere, right? You're looking behind every door. So, but these are types of warnings that are more about watching something inside of us. So we're really, these are kind of watching what we are thinking and what we are wanting to do. So it's not that we're watching and seeing what somebody else might be doing or something bad. It's we're supposed to be watching what's in our own heart. What are the things that are in our own heart and in our own mind that are going to cause us some major trouble and problems? Okay, that's what we're watching out for in chapter 24. The first thing, the very first verse says, "Do not be envious of evil men, nor desire to be with them, for their minds devise violence and their lips talk of trouble." So right there, there's a warning to us. It says, when you see people that are acting in evil ways, even if it looks like maybe they're getting ahead, they're getting an advantage. We've talked about that in several chapters. People that cheat other people to maybe get wealthy or to get ahead or get popular. We need to be careful when in our heart we start thinking, ooh, maybe that is the way I should be acting. Maybe there is some advantage to being that way. These first two verses tell us, don't go down that path. Don't follow them. Okay? It says, it doesn't even say don't follow them. It says, don't even start desiring to follow them. Don't let your mind start to think, I just wish that I could act that way. I know it's wrong, but I wish I could. That's even dangerous, is what the writer is telling us here. Even starting to let those thoughts go through your mind is a dangerous place to start. All right, so we're going to move on a little bit. And we are going to go down to verse 11. We're going to skip down to verse 11. And I'm going to read it in a couple different kind of translations. So it might help you a little bit. The first one says, deliver those who are being taken away to death and those who are staggering to slaughter. Oh, hold them back. If you say, see, we did not know this, does he, and in my Bible it's a capital H, says, does he not consider it who weighs the hearts? And does he not know it who keeps your soul? And will he not render to man according to his work? All right, raise your hand if you think you can explain what that means. I am raising my hand. Hopefully I can kind of explain it. I might not know exactly what it means, but does anybody have an idea? Okay, that might be a part of this, because there might be people that are along with you saying, oh, you don't need to do anything. There's nothing going on. Let's listen to those first two verses again, or the first verse. It says, deliver those. Here's this. Let me go to the other translation. It says it this way. Rescue those who are being taken away to death and hold back those who are stumbling toward to the slaughter. So there's a couple actions that we're supposed to do, right? One, we're supposed to help someone that's in trouble, right? That's what it says there. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. We're supposed to be helping people that are in trouble. Okay, we're supposed to be looking for those people. Remember, we're talking about watching for things. Well, this is something that you might be watching to see if someone else is in trouble and needs your help. But that's not really what this verse is about. This verse is kind of saying, yes, you should be doing those things, but the very next verse warns us about something that we might do instead. Verse 12 says, if you say, behold, we did not know this. I'm going to go to a different translation, and maybe it will make even more sense. Here's what this translation says. It says, rescue the perishing. Don't hesitate to step in and help. If you say, hey, that's none of my business. How many people have said that? Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes we've talked about that even in Proverbs. It says, you know, don't get involved in things. Don't cause problems where it's not, you know, your thing to be involved in. But here it's talking about when you see someone in trouble and you have the ability to help and you take the attitude of, well, it's not really any of my business. So I'm just going to walk away and whatever happens is that's not my fault. What does it say? It says, will that get you off the hook? Do you think that you won't be blamed for that attitude? That's called kind of a callous attitude, a selfish attitude. A lot of times we might think that way because we think, well, that looks, whatever situation they're in, that looks kind of dangerous. I don't want to get hurt. Or, you know, that might take a lot of time. That's really a big one for us. If we think, if I help that person, that's going to take away time from me doing other stuff that I want to be doing. That's kind of a bad attitude, isn't it, when someone's in real trouble? In this case, it says when someone is dying or in danger of dying, to have the attitude of, well, it's not really my problem. We need to be careful that our heart doesn't start to think that way and our head doesn't start to think that way and we don't start feeling that way. And then we see at the end of that section, it talks about God is watching. God knows. We may not say those words out loud. We may not say, I don't really feel like helping that person that needs my help. But in our heart, we might be feeling that way. And guess who sees everything that happens in our heart and knows everything that we think in our heads? Christ. Yeah, God is the one who, he knows everything, doesn't he? So he knows even the things, even the sinful, bad things that we think or that we feel, he knows about every single one of those things. So the writer is warning us, you know, don't even let those types of attitudes start happening inside of you, let alone have them start coming out. Okay? Because God is watching. All right, we'll go down just a few more verses here. So that's a second thing we need to be careful of. We need to watch for that in our own hearts. Okay, now we're going to go down to verse 17. And I know we've talked about this one in a previous lesson too. I think I may have actually had this in one of the previous chapters. But verse 17 says, "Do not rejoice when your enemy falls." How many people like to see someone that you don't like have something bad happen to them? Like the bully at school trips and falls on the playground and skins their knee and they're crying. How many people feel like, yeah, he deserved that, right? Okay, yeah, we can feel that way, can't we? That's a natural thing to feel. When we see someone that maybe hasn't been very nice to us or very kind, when we see them get in trouble or get hurt, not too bad, but, you know, just a little bit, we kind of feel good about that. In fact, one of these other translations says, it says it this way. It says it this way, don't laugh when your enemy falls. Don't crow over his collapse. Do you know what crowing is? What does it mean when you crow over something? Okay, laugh or tell everybody about it. Tell everybody about how funny it was that this person had something bad happen. Yeah. It's putting them down even more, right? It's called, have you ever heard the term, adding insult to injury? That's what it's talking about here. It says don't do that. Don't add insult to injury. When someone that maybe you don't get along with, something bad happens to them, your attitude should not be to point it out to everybody and make sure everybody sees and embarrass them even further. That's what God is telling us here. That is an attitude that is very easy to have in our heart. And we need to be really careful and watch for that so that we can quickly pray and say, God, please help me not to treat that person in the wrong way, the way that maybe they've treated me. Help me not to do that. Okay? Help me to love that person, even though they may have deserved what they got. But it's not our place to make them feel even worse. And it even says this. It says, if you act that way, if you do behave that way, it says, God might see and become very provoked or angry. So when God sees us, who we're supposed to be following him, right? We're supposed to be listening to what God is saying. When he sees us acting in that way, that will make God angry. We're disobeying him in the things that we're doing. And it says God will maybe he will take pity on that person and maybe even lift them up out of that. So, you know, be careful. Your laughter may be the thing that helps them kind of get back up on their feet and actually be rewarded for some reason. That's what it's saying here. It's saying when you wish bad on somebody else, you got to be really careful because you might learn a lesson the hard way. All right, let's keep going on. So that's kind of the third thing that we need to watch out for in our hearts. All right, here's the next one in verse 21. Verse 21, it says, my son, and that would be my son or my daughters, it says, fear the Lord and the king. And that's a small K on king. Sometimes capital K is meaning God again. But this one is fear the Lord, and that's God, and the king, or the person who is in charge where you live. You need to listen to them. You need to respect them. We talked a lot about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, right? So this is the same idea here. You're supposed to fear, you're supposed to respect and honor the Lord and the king, it says here. And do not join with those who do otherwise, for disaster will arise suddenly from them, and who knows the ruin that will come from them both. So here's another warning. It says, be very careful if you're going to, basically get on the wrong side and be dishonoring and disrespecting God, or you're going to be dishonoring and disrespecting the authorities where you live, be careful, because they have the ability to punish you for those things. So it's an important thing to remember. All right, we're going to move down a little bit more. We're going to go all the way down to the very end, and this is probably one of my favorite parts of Proverbs, and it definitely has my favorite verse at the very end. And I'm going to read it from the ESV. Verse 30, it starts out, it says, I passed by the field of a sluggard. Who's a sluggard? Do you remember? What's a sluggard? Yes, a lazy person. Okay. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns, and the ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Does that sound like a very good and protected and fruitful field that he's passing by? No. No, it's got weeds. There's thorns. Have you ever had to pull weeds in a garden? How many people have had to ever pull weeds in a garden? Okay. Some weeds are not too bad, right? Some weeds are really easy. How many people have ever had to pull out a weed that had like thorns on it or stickers? Yeah, that's not fun, is it? Have you ever had to pull a thistle out? Ah, that's what it's talking about here. It says their entire field is just covered in that type of weed, thorns, thistles. He says, then I saw and considered it, and I looked and received instruction. And then this is the favorite part here. It says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. Ooh. So here the author, the person that wrote this down, said he was taking a walk one day and he passed by the field of this person that he knew was lazy and didn't want to work. And he saw that field in complete, just useless condition. And it was a reminder to him, that can happen to me. No matter where you are in life, no matter how hard of a worker that you have been, if at some point you feel like, you know what, I've worked hard enough. I'm just gonna stop working. I've done enough. Everybody else can just take care of me now. That's what it seems like this person has done. And he says, it's just that idea, that thing in our heart that says, I've worked hard enough. I can take a rest. It's hard for us to tell whether we've really worked hard or not, I think. It's easier to maybe look at someone else and say, well, are they really working hard? But sometimes when it's us, we just think, well, I'm tired. I don't want to try anymore. I don't want to put any more effort into this. So I would say, do you do better if you have a coach that pushes you to work harder in some sort of sport? Or do you do better if you just go out and decide, yeah, I've practiced enough. I'll be good for the game. Do you think you do better if you have that coach that's pushing you to do more and work harder and give more effort? That's the better way to do it, isn't it? Well, that's what we need to be careful of. We need to be careful of our own heart fooling us into thinking, I've tried as hard as I can, and now I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to take a rest. So that's another thing that we need to be watching for in our own heart. That desire to be lazy is really strong in some people, not for everyone. Some people have the opposite problem. Some people have, and I think the writer of Proverbs talks about that in other places too, but there's two ditches on either side of the road. There's the ditch of, I've done enough and I'm just going to rest and let everybody else do the work. That's what we see here. And we have some other people who think that they're the only one that can do anything, and so they have to work all the time, and they wear themselves out, and that leads to bad things too. So we kind of have both sides of the ditch, but in this one, we're talking about that person that just wants to sit back and relax and take it easy. And we see that at the end, it says, that person is going to have poverty come upon them suddenly. You don't expect a robber, do you?
Nope.
Nobody plans for someone to come in and rob their house. It just happens suddenly, unexpected, right? And that's what comes on the lazy person. The person who doesn't want to work, all of a sudden they're like, I'm poor. I don't have anything. Oh. So we need to be careful that we don't let that attitude start sinking into our own hearts, okay? All right, well, that's the end of our lesson for today. So just a few things that we need to be watching for in our own heart and in our own mind as we live. And when we start seeing those things, we need to ask God to help us. Help God to say, God, help me fix that. Help me correct that. And the way we do that is by following Jesus, following his example, living the way that he has told us how to live in his word, the Bible. Okay, well, let's pray and then we'll break into our groups. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we just thank you for the just good warnings that you've given us in your word. And we thank you for the writer of Proverbs and the wisdom that you gave him to write all these things down for us to learn from. In Jesus' name, amen.